The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by the King's College. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
Don't know what those other radio shows are doing, the ones that get all the respect and stuff, but what we are doing is solving traffic for people so you can spend more time doing the things you want, like with your family and stuff.
So we've been doing the zipper merge. You've been a strong proponent of
that. Champion of the zipper merge gets everybody home faster.
Yes. Yep. So I zipper merge today.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, do I owe the person behind me a thank you wave?
Always helps.
Okay, good. I thought you were going to say because it's their responsibility to let me over.
Mm-mm.
No, give a thank you wave.
Well, okay. it's more of the inside the club thing. Like, hey, you got it, I got it.
We both.
Yeah.
You might want to do the two
pointing,
eye thing.
Point at your eyes and then out to
point
them.
To them.
Like a little thank
zipper,
you.
Zipper,
like,
zipper.
Like, I got you.
Yeah.
Because, like a Z hand signal.
Okay.
Like a sign language?
Yeah. Can I just wave and say thank you?
Mm-mm. You got to do all this stuff. And good luck staying safe while you're doing it. Get this question all the time. People wondering about forgiveness. And does it mean that I have to go right back into that situation? Look, I forgive you. So now we're reconciled and we have the same relationship that we had before. No. No, it doesn't. Sherry's a great example. Our excellent producer here.
Oh, well, thank you.
Because if I don't know how detailed you want to get. But like you have a very close family relationship and you had to say, I forgive you. And this is it.
Yes. Because I knew that it had to be it, that there would be more hurt. There would be more pain.
Right.
That the person still needed growth on their end. And it just, I was okay. Once I felt like, okay, you know, I forgive you and I do love you. And I could say that and mean it. Then that had to be the end of that.
Right.
And whatever processing they have to do on their end, I trust God to do that with them. Like he's doing it with me.
Some people would be like, they're like in a swimming pool of acid, and to forgive them doesn't mean jumping back in a pool.
That's a great analogy.
It means releasing your anger, letting go of your, because you think you're superior morally to that person. You're not. So you have to release that, but it doesn't mean you have to go headlong, cannonball it back into there. So this lady came up with the perfect week. She's going to live the perfect week. This is in Business Insider, like this writer. And she's like, okay, exercise, my budget, not going to eat this, not going to eat that, going to have a perfect, and I'll only eat this, not going to spend money on taking a cab like I usually do, not going to make sure I work, I get up at this time, couldn't do it for a day.
It was ruined on Monday, really?
This is so interesting.
Yeah.
It's the way we are. So she sets up these rules, and her takeaway from the week was, if I try to live a perfect life, I can't. And then you get frustrated because you're always failing, and then you feel guilty all the time. Benjamin Franklin did the same thing. He kept a scoreboard of virtues and vices.
Really?
Scoreboard. Yes.
He set up
a chart, and so he was going to live a perfect life because he's going to get better as a more virtuous person, and he's not going to do this and that. And it was completely discouraging.
I was going to say, that's devastating and despair.
It is. And you have to think pretty highly of yourself to even start the chart, right? But it doesn't work. It does not work. Here's another touchy thing to talk about.
Okay.
Why am I touching on all these touchy things? It's only touchy because I know there are people who really have suffered in Irma, for instance. So please understand, we realize that. And for you, if you've lost your garage, your car, your house, whatever, your roof, you know, it doesn't help. The statistics don't matter to you. However, Bloomberg had an article about the number of forecasters who were just wrong about the minimal damage that Irma would have. It would be this much at minimum. There's no way to avoid it. It's impossible. Other people are on Twitter, hey, pray that God will steer this away from us. It caused less than a quarter of the damage they said was minimal. And so the article, and this is in Bloomberg, and the article is about, hey, how could all these forecasters be wrong about something? Again, there's a lot of touchy stuff in that. I don't want to get into the forecasting and all that sort of stuff. All this to say, there's reason to be thankful. You can find, I mean, some of us will never find reason to be thankful, no matter what. But we live in a world that's full of disasters and full of pain. And sometimes people do pray for things, and I have to believe God's involved. And if you did pray, now would be a great time to express some gratitude. This is a great idea that producer Sherry, who produces so well on this program, had yesterday. She's like, hey, you know what would be cool? Let's just pick a proverb randomly and just talk about it on the show.
Oh, yeah, I do like that. I forgot I said that.
Yeah, you said that. And it was, I thought, we'll see about that. So I just randomly picked one this morning.
Great.
And it's Proverbs 16:2, literally just like brought up Proverbs on the screen, mm-hmm. randomly pointed at something. And it says, people may be pure in their own eyes, but God examines their motives. Mm. Or another version, all the person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord.
Oh, my goodness.
That's our ability to justify is unbelievable. If we have a superpower, that's it. It's the ability to take whatever we're doing and make it seem pure. Mm. What I'm doing is fine. Oh, that other person, they're completely messed up. They're a total hypocrite. They just... You realize when Jesus called out hypocrites, I mean, I have to call this out of myself, too, because mm-hmm. I do it, too. I love to point out everybody else's hypocrisy.
We all do.
Yes, Jesus did that. You remember he was sinless? So where does that put us on the hypocrisy scale when we're pointing out hypocrisy of other people? I mean, mm-hmm. I know we're talking layers of hypocrisy
right.
here.
Right.
But, well, Jesus did. Yeah, he did. He did a lot of things based on the fact that he's who he is. And we're left going, wait a second, that's me too. Have you even lived up to your own standards? Have I? We always think we do, mm-hmm. but do we really? Because I don't think so. God sees our motives and we don't, not clearly. This is a really touchy subject. I'm going to touch on it anyway, though, if it's okay. And that is perceptions of the church and criticisms of church stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will say, hey, never criticize anything church-related because Jesus would never do that. No, he actually does do that. Like right. in the book of Revelation, he actually does. This said, it needs to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be born out of love. And it needs to be tempered with some good news too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I see stuff and I'm like, yeah, what in the world? But then I see stuff like this. And this is from USA Today. 80% of recovery from like hurricanes, disasters, earthquakes and stuff, 80% in this country, faith-based groups.
Wow.
And they are, the guys they're talking to from FEMA and mm-hmm. whatnot are saying, look, the funds are raised by people who just give,
mm-hmm.
like people listen to the station,
mm-hmm.
who just give, people who go and serve. The amount of volunteer hours is mind-blowing. One guy is quoted here in this article saying, in disaster, churches don't just hold bake sales or raise money to collect clothes to send. Faith-based organizations like churches are integral partners in state and disaster relief, federal disaster relief efforts. They've got specific roles, sophisticated communication, a coordination network to make sure their efforts don't even overlap or get in each other's way. FEMA could not do what it does without the cooperation of faith-based nonprofit organizations and churches. It's a beautiful relationship. Like, mm-hmm. for every church that people point out on social media and rip,
mm-hmm.
they should be doing more, fairly or unfairly. There are thousands.
80%. Let that sink in.
Just the other side of the story. It's worth saying. You probably noticed this. Not a big secret. College is really expensive. That's one reason we've been happy with the King's College in New York City, because I want my daughter, and she wants, to make sure she has opportunities after college. Because,
mm-hmm.
look, it costs money. No matter where you go, it's going to cost some money. They are great about internships and setting you up with people for after you graduate,
mm-hmm.
because they have so many contacts. When graduates are going on to,
I was going to say, they're alumni.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the people, like, just the exposure that they get to different companies that are located in New York or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's an opportunity. Even if you don't stay in New York City, it's a great springboard to after college. And if you're spending that kind of money, you want to have a great opportunity. The King's College sponsors our podcast, and we're thankful for that. I actually asked them if they would, because I love them. And my daughter Julia has had such a great time there and has learned so much. So if you're interested in getting an education like that, that's a quality education in a place like New York City, and it's Christ-centered, so you've got this fun group of people, your own community of people who are going to seek an education that's centered around who God is, this is a great place to look into. Highly recommend tkc.edu. It's the King's College, tkc.edu. This is going to be cool. Social Survival School. We're going to try that for the first time today. We got Kelly here. You ready to do this? You know how it works. Survival School.
Okay.
I put people in survival situations. Well, I had a guy make a suggestion, Eric, online. He said, why don't you try Social Survival School, where you're put in a social situation.
Yes.
Because okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I'll tell
She's
you what
on
you,
board.
What you
I'm
should
on
do.
It.
I'll give you five. I'll give you a scenario. You have 5 seconds to figure out what to do. I'll tell you what you should have done. Okay.
Okay. And this is in a social situation.
Social situation.
Wait. Yeah. Hang on. This is Brant telling me what I should have done.
Mm-hmm.
Brant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I've thought through all these social things.
Wait. That's what where I think Sherry should do more of the social stuff.
She doesn't want social tips from me.
Well,
talk about social situations and getting out of those. You ready for this?
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go. Here's the scenario.
Woo, come on. You're
going on a trip and you get on an airplane and it's a beautiful day. The airplane is beautiful. You have a middle seat. Everybody's getting on, getting their seat. Click, click, clickety click. Everybody's clicking in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in the middle seat and both people on the left and right want to talk about the weather and other boring things. What do you do? You got people who want to talk and make friends. You have five seconds. How do you get out of this?
Three.
I take a deep breath. I tuck my elbows in and I smile and I make small chat about the weather.
That would be a disaster. No. What you do.
It sounded right.
What you do is you start talking about World War One.
Oh my goodness!
Including
I don't know anything
the
about
development
World
of
War.
Tanks over the span of the war, and also the inevitable use of mustard gas. And over time, what will happen is they won't even bother you anymore.
Now that's true.
At all,
that is true.
Live and learn.
Yeah, I don't really know that much. I mean, I know it happened, and that it was significant.
That's not enough to bore people.
Well, what happened?
You got to go deeper.
Yeah, if you just talk about what happened, that might be kind of interesting. So you delve into weapons development. Okay.
Weapons
That's
development.
When you lose
so
them.
So can I just fake it if I don't know what I'm talking about?
You need to break out a map of Flanders and Antwerp. The Latin word for toast is tostare.
And
now,
the...
I just want to throw out an idea here.
Okay.
Because I like toast a lot, you know that.
Yes, I do.
Tostare is a pretty cool word.
And what do we plan on doing with that?
Well, I've kicked around the idea because Brant Hansen, what a dumb on-air name.
No.
It's a fine name. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate my parents, but Brant Hansen, like that's my actual name.
So what are you proposing?
Everybody else is a fake name except for you and me.
That's actually true. Everyone has fake radio names but us. Okay. So your new radio name's going to be?
I like the one word thing. I like the one word.
You're not
thing.
Even going to use Brant. It's just going to be Tostare.
I'd like to be called. I hope this isn't too much to ask.
Okay.
I'd like to just be called Tostare.
Tostare.
I think it's really cool.
Okay.
It'd be like, it's like a Ronaldo or something. It's kind of Euro.
Yeah.
And it's like, it captures the whole of it.
It doesn't really capture because then if you
Tostare.
Have a game, a guy named Tostare. And then he starts talking about World War One facts or Lord of the Rings, as you are wont to do.
What?
Those two things don't quite, I don't know that those mesh.
Here's Tostare on the accordion. I think it's very.
That's actually not bad.
You know what? I think it's pretty cool. I honestly think that Sherry's a little jealous that I have such a cool on-air name.
Touche, Tostare, touche.
Tostare and Sherry here on the Tostare Show. What's going on? Can you introduce me?
Ladies and gentlemen, on your radio dial, it's Brant Hansen.
No.
Oh, the other thing.
I'm going with the one word name.
Yes.
And I think, honestly, yeah, it sounds a little jarring at first, but I think it's like anything else. You hear it enough. You're like, okay, that makes sense.
The Latin word for toast is tostare.
And I think it's really cool. And I want to just go by one word on air name.
Okay.
Tostare. Say it with a little.
No. Tostare. That's all you're getting from me, Brant.
No.
I'm not doing all the inflection and all that because it's all ridiculous.
But you have to. If this is a show that you wanted to be part of, then
I got to buy all the way in.
You have to buy all the way in. You have to do all of this stuff. The Tostare Show has standards.
Does it?
And part of it is saying it like that. Tostare.
Tostare.
Very good. No. Tostare. Welcome to the Human Lab. This is where, no, we don't build humans. That's weird. This is a human lab where we discuss how humans work. Okay?
Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, I find this fascinating. So, found this study about cheating So think about people who cheat, and I think we've all done some form of cheating at one time or another.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about being superior or something. But researchers measured participants' personality traits and then asked them to do a little test in which they had the chance to cheat in order to earn more money.
Okay.
Okay. Which personality trait was most highly correlated with cheating?
Oh, this is good. Okay.
Intelligence? Creativity? Extroversion? Or impulsivity? Somebody who's highly intelligent, were they more apt to cheat? Somebody who's highly creative, are they more apt to cheat? Somebody who's more extroverted? Or somebody who's just more impulsive?
Oh, my goodness.
Think about this, because I actually figured this one out.
Did you?
Before I saw the answer to this. And, yeah, it's fascinating. Anyway, we'll talk about it coming up. I'll tell you which one. And this has a lot to do with all of us. The answer is creativity.
Wow, okay, that's not what I picked.
But here's why, even according to the researchers, and this is why I thought it was probably creative people.
Mm-hmm.
They say, why were creative participants more likely to cheat? When participants were tempted to cheat, creative participants were better able to come up with good justifications for their immoral behavior. You're creative about justifying yourself.
That makes sense.
You think, how can I justify?
And you're creative to do it in the moment.
Right.
Like, yeah, I know exactly how to make this okay.
Yeah, and we are... That is a form of creativity.
I agree.
And we humans will do that all the time. We will justify our own behavior. We won't do it for other people.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to ourselves, that's the proverb we were just talking about. It's really amazing. We're able to pull the wool over our own eyes.
Wow.
That's what we're able to do. That's creativity. Hey there. My name, Tostari. Mm-hmm. And producer Sherry is here, too. And it's going to be a great show. Great hour. It's already been a great show.
How long are we going to work this Tostari thing?
I think it sounds pretty good now.
Do you?
Yeah. At first, I just want to go by that. It means toast in Latin.
Yes. And you like that as a radio name.
It sounds Euro cool.
Mm-hmm.
Brant Hansen sounds just...
Well, people
like
have
a guy from small town Illinois.
Fine, which is what you
right.
are. Yeah. But branding is important, right?
Right.
When it comes to media. And people already people already have Brant Hansen. They've branded that already. So I think maybe stick with that. It's gonna take us too long to brand.
If the brand is already sullied, you have to change it.
No, all he's right, not Tostari.
No, I don't know who you're talking about, that Brant Hansen guy. I don't like him either, but
Tostari.
You gotta hear Tostari. Love to get your feedback on stuff. Just some honest questions about the show. Who do we have on the phone?
Kelly
here?
Is on the line.
From listening to the show, what would you like to see Sherry change in her own? What does she do too much of? Not enough of?
That's fine.
We're open to
Yes, we're so open to suggestions
box.
For the show.
I do have one thing, and it's really not about Sherry. I think there should be like wisdom from Bev. Segment.
Sherry's mom. I
or
like
Mama
that
Bev or something.
Yeah. You know, every show I have been on has wanted some level of that.
Yeah.
They've always said, well, can she come in? And I am even more so now in this day and age, in this culture, terrified to have her on because she's so blunt. Loving, but
no,
blunt.
But Sherry, that's why you.
I know.
You have to record. You can edit.
Yeah,
you can edit.
It's okay to be blunt. That's interesting.
It is, but guys, okay.
No, we need. She's exactly. That is a brilliant idea. We exactly need that. All you have to do. We wouldn't have to bother her to come into the studio. You just record it at home. Just say.
Oh yeah.
Hey, mom, say that thing again. You just said.
Every day, it's something that. Eternally grateful that I have her because I realize it's the
quit hogging her.
Exactly.
So we've talked about this with the hurricanes and stuff, the natural disasters that happen, the things around the world is constant. There's something going on. Sometimes it's in our own backyard, like the hurricanes. It can even affect us personally, but if it's not that, it's something else affecting people somewhere else. Should you absorb their pain and suffering? Should you take part in their suffering from afar? They did this study about nurses, and they found that the best nurses don't do that.
Wow.
The best nurses, because you think, well, you know, it's good to empathize. Not all the time. You can't. It's too much. And you're not charged with bearing the suffering of the world. That was God's job, and he did it. You don't have to do that. The best nurses are the ones who, they love you, but they're not going to take on the pain of everybody. In fact, the nurses who do score really, 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 really high in empathy often can't continue. It's too much. Mm-hmm. The most loving thing to do isn't to just feel somebody's pain. The most loving thing to do is, how can I help? You know, we keep talking about that like that. That's it. So please don't feel guilty if you don't feel everybody's pain all the time. That's been lifted to a virtue in our culture, but it's not necessarily a virtue. Helping, loving, doesn't mean always feeling. We were just talking about empathy and stuff. And look, it's not always great to be hyper aware of everybody. I actually struggle with this. And I know other people on the spectrum do too. Hyper empathy, mm-hmm. not always good because you're always super aware of everybody in the room.
Okay.
It's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. That's why crowds can be overwhelming, or being around a lot of people that you know and you're concerned about how everybody's doing. And mm-hmm. it's hard. Hostesses, hosts, mm-hmm. people like moms.
I was going to say my mom is like that.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It can be overwhelming because you care so much about everybody. Here's the problem. This weekend, I got to talk to a group of people, 12,000 people.
Oh.
And I seriously have a problem with it.
Why?
It's at a big music festival, so I'm speaking. I got like a half an hour. Mm-hmm. But I'm aware. Mm-hmm. So if you're ever wondering, hey, can the guy up there hear us when we're talking? Yeah, I can.
And when you're not paying attention, it hurts.
It kind of does. And I see you back there getting a turkey leg at the turkey leg stand while I'm trying to make this point about God. And it does. And there's this constant kind of buzz.
Yeah.
Because people
right.
are talking.
Yeah.
Because they feel like it's, you know, hey, we're outdoors. And it's right. like, hey.
I'm trying to say something.
I'm talking to you. Hey, what's up? If you ever want to contact this very cool, highly rated radio program, very
yes.
smooth,
mm-hmm.
all you have to do is call us. It's 855-90-BRANT. And it's just one of those chill shows everybody
chill.
Likes to listen
okay.
to. Yeah, totally.
But
oh my
then,
goodness, hang on a second.
Well, look at this.
Hang on a second.
Isn't this amazing?
We have breaking animal news this time from someone who's anointed himself as a breaking animal news reporter.
Oh, we have those now.
In
I didn't
the field.
Know.
Yes.
Okay.
I like this idea.
Right. And Gary, this is Knowlton, and I'm a just an aspiring breaking animal news correspondent. I'm sitting here at the Otter Tank in the Monterey Bay Aquarium. And I just wanted to tell you guys that the otters are very, very fluffy. Looks like they've been freshly fluffed, and and they're adorable. So I just wanted to give you that bit of news. Thanks. This was Knowlton, breaking animal news correspondent.
From Monterey
okay.
Bay Aquarium, California.
I didn't know we had stringers and people out there in the field.
855-90-BRANT is our phone number if other people want to do that.
Are we paying? Because I don't know that we have
that. This is one of those fields where you just don't make that much money. You know
okay.
that. You know that. This stringer, this is how you break into the biz as a stringer.
So no money.
Yeah. Right. Nothing. But you get the exposure, and you can put it on your resume that you worked as a breaking animal news reporter.
Okay, well, that's something.
And so just recapping what we're hearing here
out in the field
at the news command center is that these otters are really, really fluffy over there.
The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by the King's College. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blast Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.